Just there's November 5th is a day of prayer for the persecuted church. So in 2 weeks we're going to kind of have a service that is more geared towards the persecuted church and to pray for them, to lift them up, because they also need to be strengthened, right? And prayer works. Prayer is a lifestyle for every believer. Prayer is so important for our own faith. I know last week I asked this question. I said, what are we thankful for? Do we have a lot to be thankful for? And our lives should be overflowing with gratitude. Do our lives overflow with gratitude? Not always. Yeah, as we've been reading in Romans, I know I have Romans 1, 8 to 15, we're going to go. But it talks about how Paul shows he has a thankful heart. He has a thankful heart for the people in Rome, for how he's heard about their faith, and how through their faith they've been building disciples and encouraging other people to grow in the Word of God. So how often do we pray for others? Do we have a prayer list of people that we pray for? I think as we read in Romans, we see how Paul prays for people that he's never met. He's praying for people that he's never met, never encountered, but he's heard of their faithfulness. And so as we read Romans, we are encouraged to be similar to Paul and to be prayerful for those who we had never met, to be prayerful for those who are in our family who need prayer, or people in our own church who need prayer. How often do we need prayer? I think we need prayer all the time, don't we? Right? And sometimes it's hard to ask for prayer. In Revelation 5, verse 8, and it says, And when he had taken it, the four creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And each one had a harp, and they were holding a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That's Revelation 5, 8. And it says, and they sang a new song. They said, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and every language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. But even I loved how in Romans our prayers are incense. And that they're gathered in a bowl and they're brought to the Father. So every prayer that you have ever prayed, it's like incense unto God. He loves to hear his children pray. I look at, because when we start reading Romans 1, and even we talk about how prayer, is it part of our daily life? Do we desire to pray? Do we desire to intercede for others? Do we have a book, maybe, of all the people that we're praying for, and then we're praying for certain things in their, for their lives, and do we see answer to prayer? I would probably encourage you to write down or get a book and have a book of people that you're praying for, or perhaps things that you're praying about. And then when God answers those prayers, write down the date and see how many prayers that God answered throughout that year. Because would that not encourage you? I think it would. So I think too often we forget about all the prayers that we asked about God in the last year. We forget about it. And then sometimes we go through hard times. We say, Lord, where are you? And then when we actually look back and see these books, journals that we have asked, all these prayers, we see how God is so faithful. So prayer is actually important for the life of a believer. It sustains us. It makes us reliant on God, and less on ourselves. Place a prayer in the life of in a believer is essential. There's promises. There's promises for his children. Prayer is totally essential for godly growth. Prayer brings rich rewards. It brings comfort, healing, joy, assurance. So as we read in Romans 1, verse 8 says, "For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith has been spoken of throughout the whole world." And I ask, and wouldn't that be something if somebody would say, "I've been hearing about your faith and how you've been growing"? I think that as we see the church within the body of believers, we see people's faith growing. Have you gone up to somebody in the last, so maybe weeks, months, and say, "You know what, I have noticed how God's been working in your life, how you have changed, and how God's been really strengthen you"? Have we ever gone up to somebody and said, I see how God is working in your life"? How would you think that would encourage that person? Because too often we don't see the growth in our own lives. We don't see God's fruit being produced in our own lives. As we see how God's working in somebody's life, we want to encourage them. I think that helps people. I think it helps me when somebody says, "I've seen some growth happening in your life, but you're no longer the person I remember a year ago." To be encouraging one another. In verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Here's Paul. He's never met these people, the believers in Rome. He's never met them. But yet he prays for them. He's always lifting them up. And as we continue to pray for the persecuted church, for other brothers and sisters that are going through turmoil, do we have a heart to pray for them? We see in verse 9, it says, and Paul Well, verse 10, let's read verse 10 too, please. And making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. He longs to go to Rome, but he's hindered. He's not able to get there for some reason. I would suggest maybe God doesn't want him to go there yet. But he still has that desire to meet the people that he's heard about with such faith. Do we have a desire for something? Desire to step out in faith? To grow in those areas? I think of sometimes God's placed certain things in our hearts, the desire to go somewhere, but it doesn't come. We still have that desire to do that. And we think, well, why is there such a something, what's holding me back? Do you get discouraged and get held back? Or do you get encouraged that maybe God has not opened that door yet for you to go through it? Or do I run ahead of God and do something that's not what he wants me to do yet? So I make it happen. Paul, in his prayer, he's been praying for the people in Rome and saying, Lord, he's telling people in Rome that he desires to see them. But God has not yet opened that door for him to go and see them. But he's never given up hope to see them, but he kept on praying for them. So is God stirring your heart to pray for people? Maybe you have a desire to go search to a different country or to serve somebody, but God has not opened that door. But yet, he's saying, pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. It doesn't mean you have to go there, but maybe put that desire in your heart to pray for people, to pray for the lost, to pray for this town. How does God want to use you? Sometimes we say, well, it must be Satan coming against me. Perhaps maybe God is not, you're not ready yet to be released. God is preparing you to go, but first there has to be prayer. Prayer is always first in a believer's life. Lord, I desire to know what your will is. Lord, are you opening this door? Lord, should I step out in it? Lord, am I walking in obedience to you? And as God opens that door, he's already prepared you to step out in it. But maybe it takes 10, 15, 20 years. But are you faithful in praying about whoever God's placed in your heart? Or the next step should I be doing? Should I step in, go move in a different job or moving here or there? Is he preparing you? And are we running ahead of him? You look at Paul, he desired to go there. But he never met that church. But he never lost that zeal for the people in Rome. He never lost that zeal for them. He wanted to come alongside of them, to hear from them, to speak with them, to share with them, to be encouraged by them. You want to be an encourager to them, and he also desired to be encouraged and be taught by them because of how he's heard of their faith. Because you think about Rome was a very, be like here, different gods, people putting their hope and faith in other things, not really trusting the Lord, but yet that church stayed faithful to what God has called them to do, to represent and show the truth of the gospel. They never wavered from their walk. Because everybody who went to Rome, they heard about the believers in Rome and how they were faithful to God. They never wavered from God. They stayed true to the word of God. And we see how that they were continuing to encourage one another, because the church was growing through persecution, through all these adultery and stuff that's happening within their community. They were still flourishing because they never wavered from the truth of the gospel. Man, I would long to see people like that, to be encouraged by them, to say, how are you so faithful? You don't waver. Why are you so faithful? Can you show me and teach me how to be faithful to the Lord without wavering? Would that be an encouragement? To me, it would be. To go to somebody and say, you know what? How are you so faithful? Why is your walk so awesome with the Lord? How do you know His heart? How do you hear His voice so clearly? Can you teach me? Show me how you do this? He wants to be encouraged by them as well, because they're an encouragement to Him, and He also wants to be a blessing to them. You know, just the city of Rome was known for its wickedness, paganism. But yet the followers of Christ lived out their faith with integrity and credibility. Can somebody read Hebrews 10? Women and boys, read Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. So how can we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? How can we spur one another on in the faith? Sounds like a very practical way, isn't it? It's not to say I'll be praying for you, but actually, how can I spur you on? How can I come alongside you to encourage you to be faithful what God has called you to do? I think it's mentoring. Come alongside the new believer, an older believer, come alongside them and encourage them. Just share with them. You know, just encourage them, say, man, I see how God's been working. Or maybe encourage them to stay true. Maybe they're falling away from the Lord and they're getting discouraged through life because they're getting a bombardment of stuff. And then how can I come alongside you and pray for you and help you? And let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let's encourage one another. All the more as you see the day approaching. So don't fall away, but come together more and more all the time to encourage one another in the faith. I think maybe the church in Rome was doing that, because all the persecution, all the heartache, all the things that were happening there, they were coming together daily. We read in Acts, even from Acts 1 and stuff, how the church met daily and broke bread together daily. They encouraged one another daily, right? But they didn't do life apart. They actually did life together to encourage one another. They didn't set up their own island and say, well, I'll let you on my island on Sunday only, or on this day. But they said, you know what? I really want people to be a part of my life, God-fearing people to be in my life, to encourage me, that they be a blessing to me, that I would be a blessing to them. Just even, you know, conviction of not, I have a book of prayers. You know, I've slacked off on that. But through this week, I've been praying for people within this church, praying for everyone in this church, other people that I know, praying for them. I think prayer is huge for any church body. Prayer is huge for every person individually. Because without prayer, our spiritual walk goes down. If we forget who our source is. Without prayer, we forget who we need to be plugged into. Prayer brings rich rewards. I shared this earlier. Comfort, healing, dependence on the Father. Essential to live godly lives. To be in step with the Lord Jesus. What's Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19? You know, he's written, so he wrote Ephesians, right? He wrote this, and it was a prayer for the believers. So Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. Is the mic on this side? Number 5.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength and comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Fullness.
That he may grant you. I think this would be an awesome prayer. When you pray for somebody, you can put somebody's name in and says, Lord, I pray for your wife. I'll pray for Kareen. Lord, that you would fill her innermost spirit with love, that Kareen may comprehend with all the saints with the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. But to use that as a prayer when you pray for somebody, that they may know Christ in a deeper level, that they would have a reliance for Christ. Wouldn't that be an awesome prayer for pray? And just think what will happen. I think we'll see more encouragement. We'll be encouraging what God is doing within our own lives and what God is doing corporately as a church. That we see people overflowing. We'll be encouraging to share and to encourage one another to continue in the faith. Imagine Paul was praying that for the people in Rome. I imagine that he was. He was praying for other people. He was praying for all the people that he's ever mentored and taught the truth of the gospel. Paul makes these requests daily to the Father. You know, whenever the church faces problems, they gather in prayer corporately. When there's corporate prayer, it's good to have a prayer life, a healthy prayer life individually. But I believe what the Bible says, when the church came together in prayer, it's important to come together in prayer, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, come alongside one another. And if we're not coming together as a body of believers, then I know sometimes our lives, but even coming together with somebody comes over to your house who are believers. Do we come together in prayer? It doesn't have to be here at the church, but do you come together with other believers throughout the rest of the week to encourage one another, come in prayer, have a prayer time on a Monday night, a Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, to have prayer part of the of your daily life. In Acts 4:24, it says they raised their voices together in prayer to God. This is the church coming together, and they lifted their prayers and their voices to God. They came together to pray. That's inspirational. It shows, talks about unity within the brethren, coming together in prayer. In its interest, they did not pray for protection or even for peace. They prayed for boldness. As Acts 4:29 says, they prayed for boldness to preach the gospel. They didn't ask for protection. They didn't ask for peace. They didn't ask for any of that. They asked for boldness to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Too often we say, Lord, I don't want any persecution. Lord, I want safety. I don't want this or that. But do we ever pray for boldness to preach the truth of the gospel, to share the gospel to others that do not know Christ? They have boldness. Even after Pentecost, before Pentecost, before they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't have boldness. After they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they came bold to proclaim the gospel. They walked. Look at Peter. He didn't, before he got the Holy Spirit, he was weak. He faltered. Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. He says, no, I'm not going to deny you. I love you too much. And Jesus said to Peter, because Jesus knew his heart, he says, you will deny me 3 times. Right? But Peter, after Pentecost, got filled with the Holy Spirit. He was enabled, he was empowered to have boldness to speak the truth of the gospel. Without wavering, we have boldness because the Lord Jesus gave them boldness. Do we pray for boldness? Lord, today I really need your boldness to stand up for what is true, what is right, what is holy. Lord, I don't want to waver from my faith any longer, but I desire your boldness. You already filled me with your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within, but I pray and I forgive me for not walking with boldness. But pray for boldness. Ask for boldness. Ask, seek, and knock. Lord, I'm asking, I'm seeking, and I'm knocking at your door, and I'm asking for boldness to share the truth of the gospel with love. Desire to see people come to know you. Paul was like, my goodness, I want to really come to you guys because you guys are encouraging me. You know, corporate prayer ought to be consistent with God's will and the mission of the church. To come together in prayer. Because we read in Acts, it says they came together, and before they did anything, they actually prayed. They prayed until they got the Holy Spirit said, okay, send out these 2 gentlemen. Or pray for who should be the leaders of the church or the teachers of the church. They prayed. They didn't cease praying. They did not go ahead of God. They waited. And how long was it until they had to wait for God? I don't know. Sometimes we get in a mess because we run ahead of God. But my prayer is that, Lord, we desire to be seeking your boldness, to know what is right, to walk in step with you, to have a heart of prayer. You know, verse 11, I guess. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by mutual faith, both of you and me. That's what happens when we come together. We encourage one another in the faith. We help one another. We come alongside in a practical way and also by prayer, standing with them. Now, I do not want you to be unaware. He's sharing with them his heart, saying that I don't want you to be unaware. I do want to come to see you. Brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you as also, just as among the other Gentiles. You know, Paul is a Jew. God gave him a heart for the for the Gentiles. But he longed to be, because he was a Roman citizen, he longed to be in Rome. But God has placed him, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, right? Both to the wise and to the unwise. So he taught to even those who are lowly, who are unwise, he taught and shared the gospel to, didn't matter who you were, he shared the gospel to them. The wise and unwise, the ones who were forsaken, who were not forsaken. He preached the gospel to anybody. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So he's been preaching the gospel everywhere that God's been leading him. But his desire, at the end of it, was to be in Rome. But he kept on praying, even though I believe God was holding him back. Because God was not done with him where God has placed him. He was still using him in those areas of influence. But his heart was to be in Rome. He didn't get to Rome until he got killed. Was 16 or 15, sorry. That's it. So how can we encourage one another today with prayer? Do we have a desire to pray for people? Do we have a desire to ask for prayer? How can I encourage you guys today? How can we encourage one another in the faith today? How can we build up one another in the faith? You know, we have a church prayer emails of prayer at BCF. You know how many prayers people in this town have asked for prayer? Even people without, who don't even attend this church. People are asking for prayer. Do we often reach out and say, you know what, I need prayer? I need to be encouraged today. I'm struggling today. A lot of times we allow things to hold us back. There's benefits when we come together in mutual agreement. Because we're looking to the source. We're looking to the Lord that provides and asks prayer. Simply just come. Say, Lord, I do pray for whoever it is. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them and you would strengthen them today. But Lord, that you would bestow upon them your mercy, your grace, that you would strengthen them for whatever they're going through. Lord, that they would know you, that you be their source through this issue, whatever they're facing. I'm just praying a genetic prayer right now. But my desire is that we would come to him and be reliant upon the Lord. Know that he's the very source that we need. And he satisfies us. He gives us good and gracious gifts. He encourages children to have faith in him, to rely on him, to be in step with him, to be knowing what his will is. And without prayer, we cannot know what God's will is. Because he's speaking to us. You know, his word says that a lot of times we read his word, oh yeah, this is what the will of God is, but it only goes so far until we start praying and asking, Lord, really stir that to my heart. To actually know you wholeheartedly. To have this unwavering faith in you. To trust in your abilities to move in my life. To have, be rooted and established in your word. And Lord, that I would have joy even through these circumstances. Lord, I would even be able to be an encouragement to others and to share of how you've been working in my life. And to come up along somebody else and say, you know what, I really press in my heart to share this, how you have been an encouragement to me by how you've been living, how you've been faithful to the Lord. I think Paul is a great example of how he's been praying for the people in Rome and how they've been an encouragement to him. And it was all about how saturated his life was in prayer. He prayed. He prayed for people. He prayed for the move of God. He was a great mentor. And yet, he had no church. He went out and he was a tent maker. He was working every day and sharing the gospel with people where he's at work. Even after work, he was going and sharing the gospel to people. Man, that'd be my heart to have a deeper love for people. To share the truth of the gospel. Because we see how the days are going. They're not getting any better. We know that people are seeking other things other than God. What kind of hope do you get from crystals? Tea leaf readings. There's no hope in that. It's all dead. And all this hope in other false gods. There's only one true God that gives you hope. Who gives you strength and encouragement. Who helps you and delivers you. Who heals the very heart, core of your heart. He's the only one that can actually heal your heart. To the very core of your essence. Like he's the only one that can actually reach in and touch your heart and heal you. And it's really set you free. And that's the God that we serve. He's the only one who could actually heal you emotionally, physically. Through everything that you have ever faced, he can set you free from those hurts. So Father, I just pray for everyone here today, Lord, that you would be established in our hearts and established in our lives. Lord, to help us to be encouragers. To uplift one another in faith by prayer and petition. And Lord, we even come alongside, Father, for those who may be hurting. But Lord, help us to have a love for one another. And we desire for that, Lord, that we become more like you. Lord, help us to be wanting to be in prayer corporately. And Lord, that we would come even in our own personal time, Lord, our prayer life would increase. Lord, give us a heart for prayer. Let our lives be saturated with prayer. Lord, help us today and be encouragement to others. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to your word and to be a light to the people, though, in this dark world. Thank you, Lord, that you are the light. You're the one who lives within us. You're the lampstand in our lives that we can shining ever brighter in this dark world for you, to share the truth of the gospel with boldness, and speak of you, how you're the only way, truth, and life. You're the only one that brings salvation. You're the only one that brings true hope, satisfaction. So Lord, I pray that you would stir that in our own lives, to have that boldness, to pray for boldness, to speak to the truth.